Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David on vacation. The great Tom Thayer, kind enough to sit in. And we are delighted to welcome in Jed Hoyer on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Jed, of course, the Cubs Executive Vice President and General Manager. Good morning, Jed. How are you?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing great, and obviously we're anxious to get the second half of the season going, and I thought we could ask you just to start out with a positive. What are you happiest about? What in the first half, you know, we get a lot of panicked phone calls and a lot of people worried about different things. What do you guys look at? You know, I think we kind of understand where the problems are, but what is it that you look at and say, wow, that's really going well?
That's a great question, and I appreciate it. You know, I was going to say, and I said this last time I was on the radio, I think that sort of lost in some of the frustrations we've had about our overall offense is the fact that we have a lot of guys having really great years. A number of guys, you know, I think, Chris Bryant's bounce back year is something that I think is certainly a nice silver lining for us. He's been fantastic. Wilson Contreras, the same thing. He really struggled in the second half of last year. He bounced back and has had a monster year. Hobby has continued what he showed last year. So I think the fact that we're having some really good individual performances and a couple of guys, notably Bryant and Contreras, the guys that, whether through injury or through poor performance last year, were part of our struggles offensively at the end of last year. Those guys have been great. They've been all-stars. And I think that probably more than anything, the fact that those guys bounce back to become stars again is something that I think will certainly help us in the second half.
Hey, Jed, I was reading an interesting article, and it comes from Pro Football Talk. And it was by Chris Ballard, who's the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. And throughout this lengthy article, he brings up how much respect he has for the leadership of the Chicago Cubs, yourself and Theo. And it's interesting because he talks about the impact that some of the guys in his background have on his decision-making process when you go through these difficult times. When you go through times like this or you have a break and you start thinking about some of your mentors, the influences, the advice that they would give you, who are your go-to guys that you think about that help you develop your thought process and into your career?
It's a great question. And obviously I've been with Theo for a long time and I've learned a ton from him, but he's there every day. You know, the managers I've been with have really been helpful to me. Notably, Terry Francona, Bud Black, and Joe. I think all three of those guys, really calm and measured. They see the game incredibly well, they always assess each game or each section of season the right way. But hourly they're positive. They're the same person every single day, and I think that's a key in baseball. Is that we do this every night, and you're going to have ups and downs. You know, we had a stretch of season where we were, 23-7. We played as well as anyone in baseball. We now have a stretch of season where we really struggled and frustrated everybody, ourselves included. And I think that, being around guys like that and learning from them and seeing how they assess things, but also how measured they are and how much they realize that this is a marathon and we can't get too high and too low. That's always been really helpful. And then I think, on the scouting side, Bill LaJoy was an old scout. He'd been a GM of the Tigers in '84, he was probably the first older scout that really sort of took me under his wing and really tried to teach me how to evaluate players, how to think about putting a team together. And even now, he's been gone for a while. But even now, I'll think back on different things he taught me that are really helpful. So And I think in this game, you know, I came up pretty young, and having, you know, veteran guys that are willing to take the time is really helpful. And, you know, for me, it's a good thing to hope for going forward. You know, I want to have that role in some other people's lives, you know, as I, you know, move on in this game and get older and more experienced. Hopefully I can pass some things along, you know, the way those guys did.
This front office show presented by the Magellan Corporation. And Jed, you know, along those lines, I think it's very interesting to hear you say that about the calmness of the managers and the influence that has on you, especially as a young executive. So what is the key then to dealing with the noise? You know, every once in a while, Theo will come out and say something like, hey, we're not blaming Joe. We have a blame here. Like, you have to be monitoring the noise, but how do you live with it? It just seems like there is this weird kind of panic or you know, fear and loathing that you got to kind of get through sometimes in the course of a season.
Yeah, no question. It's difficult. There's no perfect way to do it. You know, you try to think about, you know, dividing up the season into maybe, you know, 10-game chunks or 20-game chunks so you don't get, you know, too high or too low on individual games. But we all know that can be difficult. And I think that's one of the real skills in this game, and one that we know we're never going to master, but we try to get better at it, is realizing that, you know, this is a sport where you know, the best teams win 6 out of 10 times. You know, this is not football. It's not the NBA. You're not going to dominate your opponents. And so knowing that, you know, trying to figure out what's real, you know, what's a real hot streak, what's a real cold streak, is incredibly difficult. And right now, I think we're at that point. I think that, like I said before, we had a really good streak. We had a really bad streak. And, you know, the good news is that through all that, you know, the second half will define this team. You know, luckily for us, no one has run away with our division. You know, we could be in the position of a Boston or a Cleveland or an Oakland. They've had good first halves, but the team in first place got really hot. You know, we were fortunate. You know, we didn't have that. And so, you know, ultimately what we do over the next 2.5 months is going to define this team, and that's a good position to be in.
Hey, Jed, because it affects both pitchers and hitters, is the baseball too much of a topic at this point in the season? Because throughout the All-Star break, it seems like outside of the amount of home runs or the way the game went, that's been the topic of the week.
Yeah, you know, I was just telling someone the other day that, I know with our players, it's been a constant source of discussion. And I'm sure if I'm hearing that from our players and having those discussions, you know, that means that everyone's having those discussions. And so I think it is too much of a topic, but I can't blame the players. You know, you think about it, if all of a sudden what you do for a living is changed dramatically, it's really difficult to mentally adjust to that. You know, if you're a starting pitcher and you give up a 3-run homer on a pop-up to left field, you know, those are 3 runs that go on your ERA. That's hard to just, you know, wash away. And so I do feel like with the pitchers, it's been a constant source of frustration. And I think even for executives, I think one of the hardest things for us is, you know, the thought of, you know, what's going to happen going forward. You know, is this the ball we're going to use in the future? If so, that's fine. We just have to adjust our scales. Is it not going to be... you know, this is something that mentally is hard to deal with because you don't know what, you know, what's going to happen going forward, and you don't know, you know, exactly what to make of these numbers. So I think it is too much of a topic. I hope it recedes in the second half. But my fear is that it won't, because it's going to get really hot in August and the ball is going to fly more. And I think this is here to stay in 2019. I think people are just going to be talking about it.
How do you feel about second base and the kind of up and down performances you've had from a lot of different guys there? How do you see that position flushing out moving forward?
Yeah, that's been, you know, one of the things I think that's been our hallmark is we've been really balanced around the field. Almost every position every year is, you know, above average. And, you know, this year, second base has just been a frustrating position. I think obviously Zoe, you know, being gone is a part of that. But Descalso has really struggled since the first, you know, 10 days of the season. And that's been part of it. Ian Happ has been working on a swing in Iowa. That's been part of it. So, there's no question that's been a position that we've been, cycling guys through, trying to get someone hot. And it hasn't happened yet, and we'll continue to do that because I do feel like what's made us really good is our depth. And right now, this is probably one of the only times I can remember, since we've been good, that we haven't felt that deep. We've got some guys struggling, and we've got some guys, not here. And I do feel like we need to get back to that feeling where you got, 1 through 12 as far as the position players go. You're going to get a good at bat. You're going to get a guy that grinds things out. And you're going to play good defense out of each guy. And I think we need to get back to that place.
I was talking yesterday about Kimbrel, and I was saying I'm not going to have any judgment on him until at least 5 appearances after the All-Star break. What could he do for that position that you guys brought him in here for? If he comes out and he becomes as destructive as he was in the past of his career, how much confidence and how much help could that give the entire bullpen?
I think it's the whole team. I think that when you have a guy at the back of the game that you feel like, hey, if we can just pass the baton to him, it's over. Mentally, that's a huge lift for everybody. And obviously, he's been that for almost his entire career. He's still working his way back. I think that his stuff I thought would look fantastic on Saturday night. That was probably the first time I think with us that he just looked like the dominant, Craig Kimbrel stuff where hitters were really having a tough time even putting a decent swing on it. But there's going to be some inconsistencies. Even in that outing, he hit a guy in the foot. He walked a guy. So I think, yes, giving him some time I think is fair. But I do think the lift that gives everyone is tremendous when you feel like you just have to, pass the baton to that guy. And listen, I think our bullpen is really well set up going into the second half, and I'm confident that can be a strength of our team. Getting a little bit of a break and a rest and allowing those guys to reset, I think will help us. And, hopefully we can really get on a roll and, get some good starts and hold some leads. And we know that's the best way to feel consistent about your team. Getting 6 or 7 innings out of a starter and getting good relief pitching, you start winning those games, 3-1, 4-1. That makes everyone feel a lot better. That you don't have to score a ton. That you don't have to scramble for wins. Clean wins, I think, make everyone kind of calm down and feel good about your team.
Jed, we've been talking this morning a bit about something Chris Bryant said. He was talking about Joe Maddon. Let me read you this quote. He said, "I honestly don't think there's anything else he can do. I've seen a big change in him, just how he approaches each and every guy. He's way more involved. He's talkative. He's positive every day. I love him. I love the way he runs the team. He's been doing everything right for us. We have to play better to show that he deserves to be here. A lot of that falls on us. We just haven't performed the way we should. I can think of a handful of ball games that we should have won, and that whole narrative would be much different, but it hasn't been that way, and we hope to change it. Certainly, he's not getting that blame." Is that accurate? Do you agree with what he says there?
Yeah, I think Joe's been incredibly active and engaged this year. There's no question about that. I think he and Chris have always had, a really strong relationship. I think that, that's his, the manager. They, walked in his office the first day back when we were in the old clubhouse, and I think they've always had a strong bond, and I think Joe has always been a nice sounding board for him. But, yeah, I think, we're all in this together. I think that's the – that's the most important takeaway of all of this is that, we're all constantly having discussions about how to improve, how to get out of this rut right now, whether it's, Theo, Joe, me, our players that have been here for a long time. One of the best things about continuity is you can fall back on shared experiences. And so, I know Theo's had a number of conversations with players. I have on the road last time, being able to talk to those guys about what they're feeling, what they're thinking, how do we get this right? You can't do that with a guy you just brought in this year who hasn't been a part of our success. I think people like Chris and Anthony and a bunch of the guys that have been here for a while, we can have those discussions, and I think that's really meaningful. So, I think Chris, is taking a lot of responsibility on the players, and I think that's a great thing, and I think it bodes well for the second half.
Jed, Alzolay and Zobris, do each of them have a role with the Cubs, or is there too much unknown about either or both of them to even answer that at this point?
Yeah, I think they both do. Obviously, with Ben, you know, we're always trying to be respectful of his situation and you know, not put any timetables on it. But I think he's going to help the 2019 Cubs the rest of the way. I think Adbert will as well. You know, one of the things with every season is that you need to get, you know, some unexpected lift from somebody. It happens every single year. You know, just what jumped into my head as I said that was, you know, last year I felt like, you know, we picked up Jesse Chavez in a small trade kind of around this time, and our bullpen was struggling, and he was a huge lift, you know, from a guy that we were sort of getting to help stabilize the bullpen, but certainly not throw, you know, huge innings against the Cardinals in his first series here. And so I just think you're going to need unexpectedly good performances out of guys in order to get where we need to go. And, you know, those guys, you know, are sort of in that category, and we have a number of other guys. But we're going to need a lift from someone not named Bryant or Rizzo or Contreras or Baez or those guys. Like, someone's going to have to step up. And, you know, that's what's fun about, you know, the baseball season. You don't really know what to expect. You just know that it's not going to play out exactly as you think.
The division was supposed to be really good, and everybody thought it was going to be the best division in baseball. And, you know, I guess you could argue that it's really good because everybody's good, but it hasn't been as good as anticipated. And you're leading it by half a game. So even though you struggled a little bit, you're leading by half a game. Does the fact that you're still in first place affect how you approach this trade deadline? And Jed, obviously this is a new reality we're in, where it's July 31st or bust. There's no other way of getting better there. So do you have a plan yet, or do you have to wait and see what happens in the division the first couple weeks of the second half here?
Yeah. You know, I think I'd fall back on what I said before. I think that we're just fortunate to be in first place. I don't sort of take any happiness in that. I think being four games over 500 is how I view the team. I think that we're still at that point in the season, you know, that obviously as you get into September and stuff, you look at, you know, you're going to look at, you know, the standings based on game, you know, one game or half a game. But, you know, right now I think that's how I see it. We're very fortunate. We're in first place. We haven't played like a first place team, you know, but that's where we are. And like I said before, the truth is we're very lucky that no one ran away with the division. And that gives us, that puts us in a good position. And obviously that position really matters at the trade deadline, to your point. It does matter as you think about making acquisitions, because, you know, every team is going to be more aggressive with a chance to win the division versus a chance to just have a one-game playoff. So it does make a difference. But certainly, you know, the last, you know, 60 games or so haven't felt like a first-place team. You know, on the division part, there's no doubt that I think that Milwaukee and St. Louis both are probably a little bit frustrated with how they played as well. I think they're probably having similar discussions. Both teams had really good stretches, and both teams had really bad stretches. And so I think that's right, that the division hasn't been quite as strong in terms of one-loss record. But I will say it's the only division in baseball where everyone's trying to win. And that does make a big difference. There are no games that we have in our division against a rebuilding team. Every division is a team that's coming in trying to beat you. Every team is trying to make the playoffs. And that makes a difference. And that's going to affect the one-loss record at the end of the year with whoever wins our division. So I do think that while it hasn't been the sort of juggernaut division everyone expected, I still feel like it's a lot different than other divisions, and I think that's going to make a difference.
Great stuff, Jed. Thanks a ton. It's always a joy to talk to you. Really appreciate the insight.
All right, guys. Enjoy Thursday.
Okay, buddy. Thank you. It's going to be fun to get to the second half of the season, and it's going to be fun to take a look at traffic, because I would imagine at this point, Tom, there's probably no traffic whatsoever.
Things
pretty
are
much stops.
Lying.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.